Well, it always gives me great pleasure to introduce my friend and colleague, Robert Gray. Robert is a partner in the law firm of Hunton and Williams. Now, if you've been paying attention, you'll understand that that law firm is near and dear to me. It's near and dear to me for a number of reasons, and high on the list is my good friend Robert. Robert practices in our regulated industries and government relations team, where he focuses on administrative matters before state and federal courts, on mediation and dispute resolution, and on the legislative representation of clients. But most importantly, Robert is a citizen lawyer in the most Jeffersonian sense. Mr. Jefferson said that we lawyers, who have the benefit not only of education but of excellent legal education, can and therefore must make a difference. And Robert has always been committed to making a difference. He served as president of the American Bar Association from 2004 to 2005, and under his guidance, he initiated the American Jury Project, which established a roadmap for improving our juries and the rendering of decisions. Additionally, he tackled the problematic issue of erosion of the attorney-client privilege and initiated a task force whose report was delivered and debated at the ABA's annual meeting in 2005. And never shying away from a controversy, early in his term, when our nation's courts and federal judges were the subject of quite unusual scrutiny in the wake of the initial Terry Schiavo rulings, Robert responded with force and clarity regarding the necessary independence of our judiciary. Last year, he chaired the ABA's Rule of Law Center, which is the oversight board for CELI, the Central European and Eurasian Law Initiative, which is a wonderful public service initiative that advances the rule of law in the world by supporting the legal reform process of Central and Eastern Europe and Eurasia in the Middle East. He works tirelessly in promoting necessary advances in the area of diversity. He recently authored a chapter in an ABA book regarding the civil rights entitled Side by Side, Brick for Brick, Room for Room, Oliver Hill, Brown versus Board in Prince Edward County, Virginia. Robert, I know of no one more qualified to talk to us today about the issues of race and gender in the legal profession.
To my good friend, chairman of our firm, Thurston Moore, thank you for a very, very gracious introduction. I've got to tell you that growing up in Richmond and living in the shadow of this individual that Thurston talked about, Oliver Hill, was one of the most important experiences of my life. Oliver Hill graduated from the Howard Law School in 1933. The year we repealed prohibition in this country. He graduated number two in his law school class. The number one graduate that year happened to have been Thurgood Marshall. Oliver Hill is blind. He is in a wheelchair, and he's 100 years old, and he calls me every week to find out what I'm doing to advance the cause of justice in America. He called one day and said, "What are you doing?" I said, "Well, I'm trying to get some things done that are on my desk." He said, "What are you doing this afternoon?" I said, "Well, what is it that you would like for me to do?" Let's get to the point here. And he said, "I have a number of things at home. I'd like for you to come and read to me." That opportunity to continue to share time with this wonderful person who has meant so much to our profession and to our country is just a joy. And ladies and gentlemen, that is why I am proud to be a lawyer. Because we make a difference. We are the consciousness of our society. We are going to set the tone for what this country sees as important to its contribution in a global society. 40 years ago, in 2004, a lawyer stood before the American Bar Association to receive the honor of being its president. In 1964, that individual was a person from Richmond, Virginia, a partner at Hunton and Williams, graduate of Washington and Lee University. That person was Lewis F. Powell. In 2004, another lawyer stood before the American Bar Association to receive that honor from Richmond, Virginia, a partner at Hunton and Williams, and a graduate of Washington Lee University. And to me, it was a special moment to know that Lewis Powell stood where I stood to make his opening remarks to the lawyers of America. I took the job recognizing that in his footsteps I had an opportunity that he embraced, and that is he was going to do something that would improve justice in America, and he did. Under his watch, the Legal Services Corporation was created for this country. And it exists today largely because of his insistence that we figure out how to make legal services accessible to all people in this country. As I took that job, I said, you know, how am I going to approach this? And I thought about it. And I thought about what he said. You have a special responsibility through your training and through the privilege of practicing law to make a difference in your community. And you have to find out what it is you can do that will make that difference meaningful. In talking to the lawyers in that association, I got a great deal of encouragement to look at the American jury system, as Thurston pointed out. And as I thought about it, and as I examined it, I appreciated a couple of other things about it. It is the most inclusive institution in our society. Because every day, 5 million people get jury summonses. 1 million of them go to court for 80,000 jury trials, and they sit side by side, women and men, different racial compositions, ethnicity, religious backgrounds, to do what? To work together, to try to achieve a common vision and purpose under the law to satisfy the litigants that have come to have their dispute resolved before them. Every day, the institution of the American jury system represents the best of inclusion and diversity in our society. And so I was further encouraged to look at that as a project. Somebody said, well, Robert, you know, it'd be very nice if you pointed somebody to lead that project that had great stature in the profession. And I said, moi? And they said, no. So what do you think? I said, I think that's a great idea. He said, look, think about it. There is one person who in her career made it a point to not only as a practicing lawyer and a judge lead her community into significant changes and advancement in the American jury system. and now with her position on the United States Supreme Court, could be a wonderful spokesperson for your project. I said, I think it's a marvelous idea. So I picked up the phone, and I said, I'd like to speak to Justice O'Connor. They said, well, who's this? I said, this is Robert Gray. I'm president of the American Bar Association. I said, thank you very much. We'll be back to you soon. Do you know what? Within the day, I got a call. And the call was, Justice O'Connor would be happy to see you. Here's the date and time. Hope you can be there. And I showed up. Of course, by the time I got there, there had been significant research about why I was coming there. And I walked into her chambers, door opened, and she was there. I mean, she said, Mr. President. And I said, well, Madam Justice. And she said, have a seat. And she said, I know why you're here. And the answer is yes. What else would you like to talk about? How's your golf game? Actually brought her some teas that I thought might help her game a little bit. She said, oh, thank you very much. She did everything that we asked her to do. And then I said, Justice O'Connor, I know that you can't be there every day to work on this. But let's talk about who would be the working chair of this group. And she said, there is a fabulous chief judge in New York that you should consider. Juries are her oxygen. She works tirelessly every day to improve the jury system. And so I went to talk. I did the same thing. I called Judge Kaye's office and I said, my name is Robert Gray. I like to go. I said, what are you? Okay, fine. We went through that whole scenario. But Justice O'Connor had already made the call. And so again, I got, well, the answer is yes. What else would you like to talk about? So I had Justice O'Connor, Judith Kaye, and then I had to have somebody on the ground actually running the show, coming up with what would become the 19 principles to improve the American jury system. And that happened to have been the immediate past chair of the litigation section of the ABA, Trish Rifo. Now, I can't remember the last time that a presidential initiative was run by all women. But I can tell you this initiative ran on time. And I can tell you that the 19 principles were adopted unanimously by the ABA House of Delegates. And that's because of the leadership and those involved making sure that this project would come in on budget, on time, with the right results. It's about the change in our profession. It's about the leadership that we are now very proud of and that we embrace. I tried to listen without trying to repeat a lot of what was said. I mean, we have to be careful as we talk. I say be careful. There is this thing called diversity fatigue. And what we do is we get emotional about it. It takes a lot of energy, and we run and we run and we run. And then we say, you know what, I'm tired. I like women and I like African Americans and people from wear other stripes, but I got to practice law and I've got to do these other things. How do I sort of maintain this level of energy and this excitement about diversity? It's very easy. It's very easy. This, ladies and gentlemen, is about the image and the reputation and the values of this country. That's how we maintain our interests. In 1940 and before, it was segregation. In 1950, after Brown, it was about desegregation. In 1960, it was about integration. In 1970, it was about affirmative action. In 1980, it was diversity. In 1990, it was multiculturalism. And today, ladies and gentlemen, it is about us. U.S., the United States, making a united statement about us as a culture, as a society, as a community. And if it happens, if we move the needle, it'll be on our watch. That the changes that all have been working for the last 50 years bear significant fruit. It is our responsibility because the eyes of the world are on us. As I traveled around the world, there is an incredible amount of respect for lawyers, law professors, and judges in this country. They see our system of being fair and providing support and protection for individuals and their rights as central to the reason we are so highly respected as a country. Lawyers are the guardians of the Constitution. Lawyers represent the ability to question the actions of our government. Juries keep government honest. It is our system of justice that has to lead the way in a demonstrated way how diversity will be respected in this country. And as we look at our institutions, we have our own challenges. Sharing time with my partners, and I'm going to say this because this is an important statement that we all must get to. At my law firm, not Hunt and Williams, not the firm that Lewis Powell started, my law firm. And when we start talking about it as our home, as a place that I'm invested in, we change the dynamics, we change the psychology, and we change the approach by which we all understand the issue of inclusion to mean. We're talking about satisfaction. Satisfaction comes when it's mine. It's my place. It's my firm. It's my home. When we talked about this issue of integration, I was talking as I was coming in, and I said, you know, it was a white tablecloth with white saucers and plates, white chair. That's how we started. And my people stood here to serve those that were there. And we have changed the dynamics of that. But the key to this is the tablecloth. And that tablecloth has to look like the one that you're looking at. We have got to weave that with the thread of different values, different ideas, different colors. And that tablecloth has to represent the institution that we are a part of. We have to weave the culture of inclusion. And that's not easy, but that is doable. And you know the other part of this that is very fascinating is that it's not any one person's responsibility. It is all our responsibility. And I feel just as much responsibility for weaving that tablecloth as Thurston Moore does, as Wally Martinez does, as Hugh Pate does. And we do that with a sense of pride about our law firm, about our company, about our law school. And it is up to us in 2000 looking forward. It is about us as a society in 2000 looking forward. It is about us as a country being a beacon of hope for not only the citizens of this country, but the citizens of the world, that living in a society governed by the rule of law is our best chance for global peace and prosperity. If anything matters today, it is... Hey, get back to sort of coining some of these old phrases here. It's like letting go and going with the flow. We've got to let our guard down with each other. We've got to accept the fact that we are in this with the right motivation. We have got to accept the fact that we need to reach a new maturity, a higher level of accomplishment in this area. And it is important for us if we're going to maintain our competitive advantage in a global economy. We've got to use all the assets of this country as best we know how to advance that part of our ability to maintain a competitive edge in a global society. We can't leave anybody at the table. And that tablecloth has to be equally and heavily strengthened by the fact of all of us with a needle sticking in a thread to increase its strength. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm playing on the short side of the 50-yard line. I'm not happy about being in the red zone from time to time. I'm only happy when I'm there regularly, ready to score. That's how I see life. That's how I see the energy in my law firm. That's how I see the attitude of my partners. They are not happy unless they're in the red zone a lot of the time, ready to score. Whether it's for clients, whether it's for each other, or whether it's for their community or our community. It's about us today. It's about what happens on our watch. It's about our level of commitment, which is high. And together, we're going to move the needle in society. And this country is going to remain strong and be the beacon of hope for prosperity and peace around the world. That is our destiny, our responsibility, and together we will get it done. Thank you.